challenges because then you end up with extremely crowded women-only cars, and then you have to think about how you invest in the system so it's more balanced. And I think this, again, brings back to the point of some of these things are really beyond transport. We have to think about how we address these systems, the systemic issues, so that we hopefully eventually don't need women-only cars and those kinds of investments. But maybe also, would you want to touch on this as well?
Yeah, so I will touch on the second question, is gender as a criteria for prioritizing investing in cycling and also public transport. Yes, people have used this because imagine women are half of the population. And if half of the population doesn't have access to jobs, to healthcare, to doing virtually anything, we're losing out on a lot, not just in terms of investments, but also for giving opportunities for women. And when we improve these things, for example, one of the biggest concerns for women when it comes to cycling is safety. Safety is always number one. When you ask a lot of countries, where I'm from in the Philippines, a lot of people don't cycle and don't know how to cycle because there was no safe infrastructure where they lived. When you improve this, you improve it for a lot of other people. When there were more cycle lanes that were created from due to the pandemic, a lot more women cycled, but not just women, also men, also children, and everybody could cycle. So when we start developing this kind of this thinking that when we're building for women, we're making it better for everybody else. When we're building for little girls, for children, we're making it easier for everybody else, not just women. Yeah, so I think that's also evidenced country specifically when you see that